Hello, and welcome to the Simple Faith podcast from the Faith Formation for Children and Youth Department at St. Catherine of Siena Church in Austin, Texas. This year, our Faith Formation theme for families, children, and youth is inspired by Pope Francis's formal institution of the Ministry of Lay Catechist. As we know, parents are the first teachers of the faith to their children. So for this reason, our theme this year is The Faith Received, The Faith Shared. And the title of today's podcast is Fall Football and the Saints. Normally, I love fall football season. It makes me think of going back to school, new books, and school supplies. Nowadays, kids get new things all year long, so shopping for school supplies isn't the exciting tradition I'd hoped it would be at my house. Nevertheless, I'm reminded of the quote from the movie You've Got Mail. Tom Hanks says, "Don't you love New York in the fall? It makes me want to buy school supplies. I would send you a bouquet of newly sharpened pencils if I knew your name and address." Even though we no longer live in a predominantly agrarian society, many of us still think of fall as time for going back to school. An article recently came across my desk with the headline, "Do Catholics Still Read?" It was written by a professor at Villanova University who was considering whether or not Catholics, and especially bishops, are well-read enough in the Catholic tradition to fully carry out Pope Francis's call to synodality. Since I was in the back-to-school mood while reading the article, a few lines caught my attention. One was this: "In the Christian tradition, the act of listening is always connected to reading, not just scripture, but also whatever is conducive to listening to the revelation of God in history and our lives, in order to discern the ways God speaks to us today." Take a moment then and call to mind the last Catholic thing you read. Was it Thomas Aquinas or the Bible? Was it the bulletin? Not just the last Christian thing you read, but the last Catholic one. Next, consider the most influential Catholic thing you've ever read. Perhaps it was St. Thérèse of Lisieux's Story of a Soul, or a book by Father Richard Moore, or Matthew Kelly, or a classic like the Confessions of St. Augustine. The website for the University of the Incarnate Word in San Antonio describes the Catholic intellectual tradition in this way: "The Catholic intellectual tradition is a rich and multifaceted story. It is a 2,000-year dialogue between faith and culture as early Christians try to articulate what it meant to be a distinctive faith community. The tradition includes the evolution of church institutions that were centers of education and learning, from monasteries to cathedral schools for clergy and then to universities. The tradition overall points to a vast repository of theological thought, philosophizing, devotional practices, works of literature, visual art, music and drama, styles of architecture, legal reasoning, social and political theorizing, and other forms of cultural expression that have emerged in vastly different parts of the world in the course of 2,000 years of Christian religious experience. What's more, it is a living tradition which draws from the riches of the past to give life to the future." The website continues, "The Catholic intellectual tradition is based on two fundamental principles. First, that the search for truth in all aspects of life extends to the ultimate search for truth that animates faith. And second, that faith is a catalyst for inquiry, as faith seeks to understand itself in its relationship to every dimension of life." Quite often, we as Catholics think that to learn more about our faith means memorizing doctrine and dogma, when in reality it means engaging our faith with our lives and culture and the world around us as we try to come to know God better. There is a well-known quote from St. Anselm that says, "Theology is faith seeking understanding." Just as biology is the study of life, theology is the study of God, of who God is and how God is both present in and acts in our world and our lives. To return to our article by Massimo Fagioli and the question, "Do Catholics still read?" He writes that, quote, "devotionalism is taking over intellectual rigor," and that "there is a kind of militant anti-intellectualism which is truly a disaster, and it is truly anti-Catholic without knowing it." It is an anti-Catholic stance not to engage our faith with our intellect, not to dig deeply into all the academic disciplines, because God created them all. Science, philosophy, reason, art, music. Consider for a moment a favorite devotional practice you may have. Ask yourself if it's easier to light a candle or pray to St. Anthony to find your car keys than it is to really learn how science, politics, and our faith all inform each other. Of course it's easier. Yet to refuse to engage in this kind of deeper thinking is anti-Catholic. God created the mind, the intellect, and the faith, and we cannot forego one for the others. We cannot militantly pray our rosary without also challenging ourselves to look at issues of justice and human rights and what our Catholic faith tradition has to say about them. So what does all this have to do with fall football and the saints? Well, nothing really about football. It's more about going back to school and learning a few things and reading a few good Catholic books. Fall and winter seem to be naturally introspective times. We're coming to the end of the year, shorter days, more dark than light. It's a more reflective time, nature's call to prayer. So this all leads to the question, where do we start if we're looking for something to read to deepen our prayer life and our faith, especially if we're not sure how or where to begin? It used to be, and still is in some places, that churches, convents, and monasteries were places of great learning as well as prayer, and influence the culture and education of the communities around them. The charism and saints of the religious congregations often had a particular impact on the faith lives of the people who lived near them. So what we can do is start with what's in front of us. St. Catherine of Siena, for example, was herself influenced by the Dominican priests in her town. She used to go to their church to pray and listen to their homilies and sermons. She joined the Third Order, or lay Dominicans, for support in her own faith life and service to others. One thing we can do this November is dig deeper into the lives spiritually and prayerfully of our favorite saints, and not just looking on Wikipedia. Just starting with Catherine of Siena and the Dominicans, there's something for just about everybody. What are a few quick things we know about St. Catherine? She lived in a private cell in her parents' home, was a laywoman, not a nun, and a Third Order Dominican. She is one of four female doctors of the church, and she confronted the Pope. She was born on the Feast of the Annunciation, and she died at the age of 33, which is the age Jesus was believed to be at the time of his death. Two of her quotes were these: "Love transforms one into what one loves," and "God has made you a gardener to root out vice and plant virtue." Now let's do St. Thomas Aquinas. If you are a logical, methodical, and orderly thinker, he might just be the guy for you. To begin with, if you do a quick online search for an image of him, you'll find a wide variety, from an old grumpy-looking guy with a church, to a wizened gentleman who looks quite a bit like Sean Connery, to an Instagram-ready icon of him as a young man. Beyond that, he was born and grew up in a castle. He had a lifelong fear of storms, and he ran away from home to join the Dominicans. He was stubborn and called the dumb ox because he was quiet and didn't talk much. He never criticized people, only critiqued ideas. St. Thomas greatly influenced Western thought, and much of modern philosophy developed or opposed his ideas, particularly in the areas of ethics, natural law, metaphysics, and political theory. He is considered one of the Catholic Church's greatest theologians and teachers, yet he was extremely humble, and he had terrible handwriting. Meister Eckhart was a German mystic, a theologian and philosopher who taught a radical religious philosophy of seeing God in all. Though he was gifted with mystical experiences of God and taught a practical spiritual theology that was very popular, he was also tried for heresy by the Inquisition. Two wonderful quotes of his are these. First, spirituality is not to be learned by flight from the world, or by running away from things, or by turning solitary and going apart from the world. Rather, we must learn an inner solitude wherever or with whomsoever we may be. We must learn to penetrate things and find God there. For those of us who dream of running away to a nice, quiet, clean retreat center to continue our inner quest for God, Eckhart is inspiration for us to find God within us, regardless of the circumstances. He also wrote, "I am as sure as I live that nothing is near to me as God. God is nearer to me than I am to myself. My existence depends on the nearness and presence of God." For those of us who think we need to head off on a search for God out there, Eckhart might be one to help us check out the process of finding God in here instead. If you are an artist or just a lover of art, you might learn more about Fra Angelico, not the liqueur, but the Dominican friar. Some of his paintings, such as the Annunciation and the Resurrection of Jesus, are quite well known in the Catholic and not-so-Catholic world. Finally, in our Dominican world of St. Catherine of Siena, we find St. Martin de Porres. He was the illegitimate son of a Spanish gentleman and a freed slave woman. And in Peru, by law, all descendants of Africans or Indians at that time were not allowed to become full members of religious orders. Martin was well known for his humility and prayer. He levitated and bilocated. He refused to eat meat. If you are a gardener or a parent or just a regular human being who lives life, Martin has words of wisdom for you. He said, "Everything, even sweeping and scraping vegetables, weeding a garden, and waiting on the sick could be a prayer if it were offered to God." Moreover, in our angry and contentious world, we should pray these words of St. Martin de Porres. "Compassion, my dear brother, is preferable to cleanliness. Reflect that with a little soap I can easily clean my bed covers, but even with a torrent of tears, I would never wash from my soul the stain that my harshness toward the unfortunate would create." As we consider fall in football and going back to school, how might the saints be back to spirituality and back to Catholic intellectualism school guides for us? To what might they invite us? Growth, perhaps? Where might they take us? Deeper or closer to God? To think more critically about the world around us and how God is in all of it? To be inspired to join a third order or a lay group attached to a particular community? If you have a particular devotion to a saint, Francis, Anthony, the little flower, the darkening days of fall are a good time to study with them a bit. Learn about St. Clare and the bold women who followed her. Did you know St. Anthony was also Franciscan? If you wear a miraculous medal or scapular, find out why. Patron saints are meant to be more than just cool names and objects of devotion. We're supposed to put our lives up next to theirs and see what we can learn, how they can guide us, where they can lead us. Julian of Norwich dispensed wisdom from her cell built off the side of a church. Hildegard of the Benedictine tradition wrote music and grew medicinal herbs. She defeated great in Austin. St. Dominic and the Rosary. Do you know why they're connected? Are you a business person? Consider how many saints were entrepreneurs who bought property and set up communities and social services and traveled many places all before the internet or even the telephone. I bet none of them were certified project managers. What they were was called by God and inspired by the Holy Spirit and the example of Jesus. It's easy to light a candle, wear a medal, or pray to Saint whomever. However, it might be more meaningful and more growthful to read a book, The Story of a Soul, perhaps, or The Prayers of Catherine of Siena, and discover how our lives might mirror and model after theirs. They can become our friends and mentors and guides. The New Testament letters would say we're all saints, holy witnesses to God's work. We need help to live up to that calling. As we celebrate this November and All Saints, instead of binging Ted Lasso, let's set aside 20 minutes a day to curl up with a good book, or listen on Audible during our commute or workout, or order a Praying With book and perhaps make our own little mini retreat with one of the saints as our guides. We can ask them for graces. St. Catherine Labouré and the dark lights from Mary's fingers, for example. Even if your personal retreat intention is, "Help me because I don't even know how or where to start," tell the saints. Tell them and let them lead you, because they already know the way, even in the dark.